The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, with me is the Senator, Independent Senator Lynn Ruane, not to talk about prisons, instead to talk about something completely different, her own short film, Waiting Day. It was debuted at the Flat in Galway last year, but available now on the RTE Player. Lynn, you're very welcome to the show. It must be a great feeling after the success of kind of debuts at the Flat and film festivals like that, that now everybody, the public at large, can see it on the player.
It is. I think when you're writing stories that you feel are representative of your own community and experiences, you also want to see what the feedback is to that, you know, to see if it's, you know, hitting home with people in terms of they're seeing themselves represented or their communities or their lives represented. And it's been getting great feedback. So it is really wonderful to have it on RTE.
So before we talk then about the communities that are the centre of this and the stories that you want to tell, you wrote the film.
Yes.
Was that something you had in mind to do? Was it a story you sought to write and it kind of became a screenplay? Or tell me about that process.
When I wrote my book, Kieran, I always wanted to be a writer, first of all. So I've never kind of stopped just constantly writing. I never really thought about writing film until I did a master's in DCU in creative writing. And when I realised in the screenwriting module that I was actually quite good at something, but I would have never tried to turn my hand to it. So I was like, oh, because speaking in dialogue came much easier to me than speaking in, say, having to write big academic terms. So I was able to use my own dialect. And that's what I loved then, with playing around with film and stuff. And I had already started writing a feature film, which is called Ready or Not, which should be hopefully in our cinemas by early next year some stage. We're waiting on a release of that in film festivals first. But I had already started writing that when the director of that wanted to produce something under Focus Shorts. And she obviously was a fan of my writing in general. So she had asked me, would I write maybe a short story? And because of in my book, I have lots of different themes. And I thought that film and fiction would be a great way to be able to further, I suppose, tell them stories that people can separate themselves from.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be about a particular individual, they can be fictionalised. So I just found screenwriting then as a good way to be able to, and also a good way to do politics in a sense, because I think as being in a political arena, you're kind of saying the same things all the time and you don't feel like anyone's listening and they get used to your voice.
Yeah.
So they don't even bat an eyelid when you're talking about some of the difficult stuff in life. So I find for me as a politician, being able to take the art of writing and still talk about the same things I'm always talking about, but giving them to a viewer or a reader in a different way.
Is it difficult to write a short?
I'm going to sound like really no, wasn't like I, but I don't like saying that because I'm sure for other people
did it before they, breakfast one day.
It was really quick.
Yeah.
But I think whatever way I work, I don't have a natural process. So I'm sure if someone was to sit down and start processing to write, it might take them a considerable amount of time. But I think whatever way my mind works, because I would have worked in research before, I would have been constantly looking at patterns working in the drug sector. So my mind is probably writing long before I actually sit down to
put
on a page. So when I say it probably took me a half an hour to write it, that's true. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't kind of mulling around in my consciousness in some sense.
Yeah.
Because it's harder to capture that then in terms of
it's like, isn't it like they say, you know, the real creatives, say to be an architect as the example, the real creatives, when they get their commission, do nothing.
Mm.
They just go off and kind of like that. They mull it over for ages and then they do the work.
Yeah.
And the least creative people sit down immediately in front of the client and start drawing as it's being explained
as
to them.
It's happening. Yeah.
No,
I do think about things. And I try to also think about how to merge several different stories together, especially with a short, like that's 9 minutes. So you're trying to say something in 9 minutes, which is not easy.
Yeah.
But I suppose, again, being a politician, I've also learned to speak in smaller ways in the chamber. So maybe that has helped me master some level of shorter writing.
And as a writer, then the translation to screen, is it easy to relinquish control?
That was really hard. It wasn't as hard on the short as it was on the feature film.
Okay.
Because it's just a huge project, but it definitely was more of a self-development thing that I needed, do you know what I mean? To also know that the people I decide to work with, I decide to work with them for a reason. But the thing is, with the short and much like with the feature, what's happening there for me is I make sure that the people I work with understand that we're only going to hire actors who are actually from the world that we're talking about. And that's not because actors can't play other worlds, of course, that's the world of acting. but it's the fact that people are underrepresented and there's a huge body of talent in working class communities, but they're not getting opportunities just because you hold like a, you know, an audition day, but you're holding it in a hotel, in a room in a hotel in town, and people might not be used to leaving their own communities and the suburbs. And so for me, it was making sure that the casting directors, the directors, everybody involved understood, and they do, and that's why they want to work with me too, is, and they go into youth clubs and they do little acting workshops alongside youth workers. And that's where the young actor, Kyla, who's in the short, she was from a youth club. And obviously my daughter plays the mother. So it's easier for me to trust and let go of control, because I also know that the people who are playing the world I'm trying to play are from the world. So they can't, even if they begin to improvise, they're not really going to deviate too much from what they know. And I think that that's easier then to be able to step back and go, right, it's out of my hands now, and over to them with their skills and talents.
And when you say that those actors from those communities are underrepresented, are the stories of those communities underrepresented as well? Is that part of the reason exists and the feature?
A bit of both. I think sometimes they're told often in a way that they're written by people that are not in that world either. So as somebody that's in the world...
The love-hate treatment.
Well, you're kind of picking the holes in it. Do you know what I mean? Or you're picking the sensationalised version or the extreme versions.
Mm.
So for something like Waiting Day, for me, it was about capturing the love. So when people write about addiction and they want to put it on the screen, or they write about homelessness, you always feel like you're getting the extremities of those situations. Where in this, I wanted to show the love and the humour and the resourcefulness. The addiction is happening, you know, the poverty and the struggling on that kind of breadline and waiting to be paid, that's all happening. But what you really pick up on is the solidarity amongst people and the solidarity amongst the families themselves, and how they look out for each other, and how they have to be resourceful in those situations.
It's often presented, isn't it, like, are those communities often presented as a place to escape from in movies, rather than kind of escaping from maybe the spiral that you've been caught in because of addiction or whatever. It's the entire community you've got to kind of escape from.
Yeah, it is. And especially in one sense, escape from, but in another sense, also be able to see the value and worth and power in those communities rather than only seeing the hardships. The hardships shouldn't be happening, and that's why I want to tell the stories. But I want the people, and the people who may see themselves and from those communities, I want them to see the power in themselves rather than the desperation or the hardship, while still acknowledging those things. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's not even escaping from. It's about also going, how do we create our own agency within our own communities, and how do we ensure that we no longer go underserved or under-resourced?
And what about people who are not from those communities who might watch it on the player? What do you hope they take from it?
Well, I hope just obviously being able to engage with a subject in a way that's full of like compassion and empathy and meaning, but also being able to see how someone's life may just exist in that way, you know, in that little snapshot of kind of consistent poverty, or the risk of consistent poverty that I'm kind of writing about. But I also wanted, I suppose, people that are not from that environment to also understand that we're a very kind, compassionate, loving person. So if we have to put someone out of the home because maybe their behaviour or addiction has become so chaotic that it's affecting the whole family, that's not an easy thing to do, and that actually the desperation and loss that is felt in that household, because they want the best for the person, but they may be trying to help other people in the family, and it becomes really complex. So I want people to see the love and the complexity, but I also think that anyone can get something from it, because it's not only that world that may experience consistent poverty, it's not only that world that may experience addiction, and albeit maybe a different type of addiction in terms of substance. But also then everyone has families and everyone loves their families. And I think being able to just see that people are just ordinary people trying to do ordinary things and trying to get their kids to school and just trying to make sure everyone is safe.
Yeah.
And that's just normal across the board. Like,
so is this type of thing, you suspect, kind of a thing we'll see more of in the future with you?
I hope so. I mean, I've lots and lots of stories to tell. I have lots of stories to tell. And it's also creating opportunities. Like, some of the kids that are involved in some of the projects that we've done, Are now on sets, on new sets, and they're getting new opportunities. So
that's great, yeah.
In one sense, it's about telling the story, but in another sense, it's about me also using my privilege and power that I've gained to be able to maybe pull down some of those bridges between those opportunities and the people that are full of talent.
Do you suspect if you didn't have Senator before your name, that these would have been made?
Probably not. I think I've gained power, position, privilege, all of those things, and it's just about trying to use them well. And I think, you know, I remember my friend saying to me that you only have power, real power, and power to do good. So not power in the icky sense, do you know what I mean? But power to do good, that you only have that, you only truly have that if you can remove status and then people still want to listen to you. They still want to bring you into work on projects. That's where, like, the true essence of power lies. It's not in a status. So I suppose if you remove a status element, do them opportunities still exist? And that's a whole nother question in itself.
It's a difficult one, because you removed, say, the Senate, say you stepped away from it. The title is gone, but is the status entirely gone as a former senator? Probably not.
I would say it is.
Gone.
Yeah, well, I would hope I've built up enough relationships and stuff.
I would think so, but I mean, in terms of... I think there's a hangover status, is there not?
If I start listing off former senators now, you'd be like, who? What's his name?
Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? Lynn, most people do that for current senators listening to the show. Anyway.
Sorry.
Listen, I said at the start, it's up on the RT Player. Some people would have seen it last week on RT Television, but it's on the Player now. Waiting Day is the name of it. And what's the name of the feature again?
That's next year. That's Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that as well. Hopefully early next year. Senator Lynn Ruan, and thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.